This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Turn in your guns! Turn in your guns! Turn in your guns too! The local church. Yep, that is the article from Chuck Baldwin. Pastor Baldwin, he's like, that's the title of it, Turn in Your Guns at Your Local Church. And he's not happy about what's going on. In fact, that's one of his main themes of his entire, I guess, his pastoral life right now is all about, where are the leaders in the church? In fact, the church itself, the church is, the whole institution of the 501c3 IRS-approved churches are just, tools of the man. Well, he wrote an article about it, and it stems from a gun buyback thing that they're doing in Chicago, and he's just, man, this is no. And people were commenting on the articles and so on. He's looking at the comments and various different reports and such, and one person he quoted in there, and he goes, "Perhaps my favorite comment on the story was this one. Wow. Both police and churches turn in traitor against the Constitution." And that's kind of been his main focus of late, is that he sees where he would look to have some kind of a moral leadership, someone that would be a representation of saving the individual's souls, that you didn't go around kissing the idolatrous ring of the man, that you would worship something higher, or at least not, sell your soul, to the man. He's really looking for leadership from the pulpit, and he's trying to provide it, and, but they're going back. I mean, they always go back, and you look back at the revolutionary times and so on, and the minds of the people and such, and you'll find a lot of great stuff. Patrick Henry and Sam Adams and Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson and a lot of these guys, I mean, they had it going. But then, they said, okay, we're done. It's good. We win. Done. And then the battle started. The shuffling happened. From the time of the Articles of Confederation to the times of the Constitution, we got sold down the river. And it was all for this. We got collectivized people so we can tax them. Yep, so we can tax them. So we can have wars and central banks and stuff. That's what this thing was all about. And that's what I see is coming. There is going to be another revolution. It's inevitable. It's just what's going to happen afterwards. And there's going to be, and this was a discussion we had at Pork Fest a lot. I don't think we talked about this yet. Let me go and share this with you. It's a good thing before we got plenty of time before we get into this. My input at Pork Fest focused around, this one thing. I'm going, look, there is going to be a great upheaval. There's going to be economically, and so we just want to be around to keep breathing in and out so that we can be part of the reshuffling. There's going to be a reshuffle. And everybody's like, we survived it. Okay, we win. We are the last ones breathing. They suffered, we didn't. We had, our own solar and food stuffs and water and purified, and we pumped and did and tablets and whatever, we went. Okay, we're here. And I go, yeah, well, there's always bad guys, and they're in their leather-appointed mahogany bunkers, and they come out and they do this big continuity government thing. Oh, you didn't think we were going to go away. Heck, we're just waiting for most of y'all to die off anyway. So you go, okay, so here's the reshuffling. There's always a reshuffling.
We want to be around for the reshuffling. And we want to have an impact. We want to deserve to have an input in the reshuffling. If we're the ones that were advocating violence, if we caused a lot of the problems, if we were, you know, just as bad as they were and everything, you know, why are we letting you at the table? Why is, you know, heck, there may not even be a table. So I'm just going, there is going to be an after. Think about it. My grandchildren are, you know, a couple of years old. You know, they're some in the womb, and, you know, one will be three, you know, in a month and a half, 2 months. So let's go 20 years. Well, they're the age of my youngest daughter then. You know, 20 years, I'll be, you know, in my early 70s. You know, kind of the age of my parents and stuff. You know, this is, Donna's grandmother, she's 98 and doing well. Mine's all there. Kind of going slow, you know, having a shoulder that's healing from falling, you know, broke somehow. And she's getting physical therapy, you know, yesterday they're there, you know, kind of rotating her arm, getting it all taken care of, but 98 all there. And she has a lot of experience, a lot of things, a lot of cycles that she's been through. Yeah, I get it. You know, you can't pull it over on her. So she was probably one of the more, certainly on my wife's side of the family, that understood what I was talking about and the things that were going on. And she wasn't as surprised and financially prepared herself. You know, she's kind of, you know, she made it. Looks like you made it with some money at 98. If you can make it to 100 years old and keep some, you know, your money to keep you going the rest of your life, you win. You freaking win. Some of you know that somebody else didn't. And I tell you, new. Don't what they say. You know, you just go, you know, go with a philosophy, stick to it, you know, and you're good. So she did okay. Now, the thing that has come out of this, you know, for me is that I want to make sure that when my grandchildren are getting married and so on, that's kind of a grand deal. You know, my thing is not only you raise your children good parents. I mean, if we looked at it that way, you know, if everybody did what I said, you know, I'm like, you know, this is the plan. When you're a parent, you're busy, you know, like putting food on your family. I mean, you know, I need to, you know, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a roof, okay? I'm going to provide food. I'm going to give you so you can get to have bedroom. I'm going to give you your G.I. Joe the Kung Fu grip for Christmas and maybe an iPod. But, you know, it's, you know, mainly I'm here to keep you breathing in and out and, you know, be a good parent, not be a bad parent. But, I mean, a lot of the philosophical stuff, a lot of the understanding, a lot of the patience, a lot of the time, you know, that's what grandparents are for. In fact, that's why we had multi-generational households. You know, different generations took care of different things. There's a sharing of a lot. That's why a lot of times things skip generations. So you go, okay, so you have that multi-generational. We wanted to be there. A lot of that was selfish reasons for ourselves because we enjoy it. But then we find out after even a short period of time, a couple of years, you know, the grandkids, it's not so much that you get out of them. It's what they get out of you. You know, it's like, you know, I wouldn't want to deny them the input of the grandparents because there's so much more. You have more patience, you know, and you understand the impact of not dismissing them. You understand the importance of encouragement. You understand the importance of, you know, eye contact and focus. And, you know, I'm busy and don't be too loud. I'm watching Star Trek. I mean, you know, this is, you know, grandparents have a role. So I'm going, okay. You know, let's go this route. Let's see if we can, you know, breed the bad guys out by making good guys to replace them. With the internet, it gives you access to more information. Kids are able to learn even on their own. Grandma, grandpa, you know, the internet knows more than you. I mean, you call it. It's like, what was it, Uncle Jay. There's a guy, Uncle Jay. You know, he has, you know, let me explain something. You know, word of the day is, you know, Uncle Jay. They go on the internet and get Uncle Jay. Well, that's, you know, better than nothing. You know, so this is, there's a generational thing that I can see that with the internet and a different perspective on how we see government and authority and, you know, the importance that they play in our lives and how much it shouldn't play in our lives, that we're going to be able to have a chance in the second American Revolution, the reshuffling comes, that we can do it better. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. I mean, we can learn from what happened back here. We can also learn how I got screwed up. Oh, and it's always there. Somebody's there to screw it up because it benefits them. Humanity marches on. And I'm joining the march.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is that's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Pure Life Water, helping you drink better and live better by providing a zero-calorie alternative to sugary drinks. Visit us at nestle-purelife.us. When kids are playing, they often don't want to stop to keep hydrated. So send them out with a bottle of water and encourage them to take frequent drink breaks or call them inside for a quick sip. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Now that you've found the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM, you may want to help expose others to our great programs. To assist you in doing so, you'll find resources at promote.lrn.fm, including details on how to get a free bumper sticker, quarter-page flyers you can print out and distribute, banners for your website, as well as files that will allow you to make your own custom banners and graphics. Visit promote.lrn.fm and help bring new listeners to the Liberty Radio Network. That's promote.lrn.fm.
Take control of your money today and do it with style. Young Austrians are right now fashioning the silver economy. Would you like to take part? You'll find all the tools you need at DontTreadOnMeme.com. Don't Tread on Meme is the only place where you can get hands-on silver trading cards with the most unforgettable designs, like Clint Eastwood's Fistful of Silver Dollars, Murray Rothbard, Enemy of the State, the Ron Paul Lovelution, and the cover art of George Orwell's 1984. Download the free silver calculator app from the iPhone or Android markets and get up-to-the-minute silver spot prices at your fingertips. And hey, we're all Austrians now, so why not express your passion for silver and promote the ideas of honest money with Tread on Meme's clever apparel? Boycott an empire of theft. Buy silver. Trade with value. Build a society of kids. Do it all at DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's DontTreadOnMeme.com.
You can sign up to receive the latest about the Liberty Radio Network via our email updates at updates.lrn.fm. That's updates.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be there to answer it because we're in Columbus, Ohio here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Don on the other side of the room over there recording and doing business on the internet. And we're, reminiscing a little bit here on what has been and what will be and how we're going to be a part of it or just avoid it. You don't got to be a part of nothing. I mean, sometimes the best thing to do is just get out of the way. You know, it's like, it reminds me, I talked about this before, there's a scene in the first Austin Powers where they're a big warehouse and it has the steamroller going really slow. Here comes the steamroller and there's Dr. Evil's henchmen standing out in the middle of the room with his, hand out going, stop! for about 30 seconds, you know, as a steamroller squishes over them. And I'm going, okay, that's, you know, what a lot of people do. They just stand there, scream and stop, thinking it'll stop at the bottom of the hill on the railroad track with the locomotive, you know, blaring away. Here they come. And all you got to do is take a step, you know, two steps to the left or right, and you get off the track. No, I'm standing my ground on the track. Okay, well, stand your ground over there. You know, I mean, you know, you key it as it goes by or something. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, you don't have to be in the front of the barrel. You know, I can put a daisy in the gun barrel from the side. So there's, you know, there's just so much of this going on, and there's so many things. And when you're talking to people about a lot of different things, and you try and make a point, and it was so obvious when you're talking around the country, a lot of different people, and you're making a point about, well, you know, this is the way it was. This is what's going. This is what they're doing. This is the technology that's coming. These are the things that you don't know. This is what we can do. This is, and they're so dependent in their mind. They've already made a decision to be dependent. It doesn't matter what's out there. It doesn't matter the advances in energy or technology or travel or where you can go or, heck, you can live out in the ocean or in space or whatever. It doesn't even matter. I mean, I got biggest pushback on, you know, Lord forbid, they say, yeah, the heck with y'all, we're going to Mars. And I found that interesting is that Elon Musk sold PayPal, all his money is behind, and the space capsule that's replacing the shuttle that's supplying the International Space Station, all this kind of stuff. You know, they never talk about why he built this. You know, he has an entire space program. All this is just a stepping stone to what he really wants to do, and he's made no secret about it. He's built, you know, Falcon 1, you know, get the Merlin engine all done and taken care of, and that privately and from the ground up designed and done. He's got that. Then he puts five of them together, Falcon 5. Then he puts nine engines together. That's Falcon 9. Then he puts three of the nine engine Falcon 9s together, and he calls that Falcon Heavy. You do three launches of those in the space, and you got a Mars mission. We're going to Mars. Done. Mine. Flag. Got a flag. Well, I plant my flag. It's mine. You know? Did you step on your footprint? See that? Mine. I got it. It's all mine. So, you know, Elon Musk going to Mars because he's tired of waiting on government. You know, I don't need you. I got billions, man. It's all good. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to make me some profit and money doing it and launching communication satellite and space stations and doing kind of pay me to go. I'm going, and then I go Mars. Okay, done. It's all good. And people go, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. We should own that too, or own them, or they can't, and they got it and stay. And they're jealous. The envy of just, you know what? It sucks to be y'all. I'm going over here. No, you must stay here and serve us. You must suffer with us. Misery loves company, especially when you're the first misery guy. You know, really? All right. That's, you know, it's an attitude that's going to change because it has to, or we're extinct. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, Chuck Baldwin's thing, I want to go ahead and finish up on that because he really makes a good point. And he's been screaming this, you know, for a long time. And, of course, we saw this happen when Katrina came through Louisiana and destroyed New Orleans. And to get the cooperation of the people, they were like, heck no, this whole reason why I freaking have a gun, you morons, is protect my property when, you know, there's nobody else to protect it. And there would be people that lived in very expensive homes, and they would have armed guards, or they themselves and relatives, and they just patrolled the perimeter. They're up in the dry, and all these people come around, and go, ooh, look at that nice mansion. You know, it's like Gone with the Wind or in The Patriot or so, and all these people are leaving, and they just got all kinds of goodies and go get them. And they go, no, we're good. We don't need to file an insurance claim, or we may not have insurance, or we don't want them to know what we got, or we got all our goodies here, and you know what, we're good. We got it taken care of. So what happens? Here comes the man. And they go, you're not allowed. Give us your guns. All right, fine. You going to post a guide? No. You're just not allowed to defend it yourself. Really? And this is the government I want? They go to the, I remember this one old lady, they roughed her up, beat her up, get her guns from her. And then, you know, relocated, you can't stay here, got it, you know what, and they're going, okay. It was so much resistance. And even the people, the troops, the National Guard that was doing, they're like, yeah, this doesn't feel right. There was so much resistance, they went to the pastors of the churches to get them to say, yeah, You know, just it's all good. Get a receipt. You know, give up your guns. It's, you know, the Lord done told me to tell you that it's okay. Well, if that didn't tell you what you needed to know. So here comes the faith-based initiative stuff. You know, we're gonna pay off the churches. And one of the big things, it's always about databases. This thing has been, it's been the most amazing thing to me is what they'll do to get a list. So here they go. They go, all right, we're going to give you, and Pastor Baldwin talks about it here a little bit. And a lot of that money goes in. The argument was they called it faith-based initiatives. And it was like church do a better than government at a lot of things, you know, and finding, you know, locally in their jurisdiction, their parishioners, their congregations or in their geographic area, who needs the help and why and how much and in what way. And they do it themselves. They're closer to the problem. They don't have a bunch of bureaucracy. And we get daycare of this kid and help a little bit there and give a little money to that and do some, give them to church and teach them, you know, right and wrong. Or we can help them with their school or tutors or something. You know, a little help, you know, give them a sink they need or their bathtub doesn't work anymore or something. So we're going to, you know what we're going to do? Because the churches do it so well, because government's not involved, that we're going to get government involved. You know, it's like there's libraries, public libraries, they do really well, so we want to put a government sticker on it and screw it up. So you go, all right. So they give them money for daycare. You know, they give them money for after-school program. They give them money for, we're filling the blank, tell me how I got to fill out this grant form so I can get my money. And in exchange, you know, there's a little something for the home team here. It's like yesterday, there was finally, for the first time in 3 weeks or something, I had a micro moment where I didn't have to do anything and I wasn't sleeping. So yesterday afternoon, my kids always talking about this drawing game. It's called Draw Some or something like that. And it's an application on your smartphone. And it's like playing Scrabble with your friends. It's like doing Pictionary. You kind of draw on, you know, trying to get them to guess what it is or something. And you go back and forth. And I go, hey, here's something, you know, my kids are doing. I go, all right. And I call my daughters and I go, all right, what's the name of this thing? And what do I got to do, you know, to get you to play with me? So I leave a message with Sierra, and I talk to Rhea, and she tells me what it is. Oh, I don't play it anymore, but here's what the thing is. I go and I download it. Later, my daughter would call, and I'm like, never mind. And, you know, because why? As I logged into it, and you went through the process, just to be able to play the game, you got to give up all your Facebook friends, all your ID, logins, everything to play this free game. Next. Never mind. Faith-based initiatives, that's what they did with the church.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Porcupine Realtor. Do you want a home with 20 acres, a lakeside cabin? Any takers for renters, buyers, and sellers too? Mark Warden is the guy for you. PorcupineRealtor.com.
The three most important things you can do for Free Talk Live are, one, share one episode a week on Facebook or in some other social networking site. Two, buy the things you buy online through shop.freetalklive.com. Three, give $3 a month to the AMP program. It's my firm belief that Free Talk Live's AMP program is the best use of your charitable dollar among liberty-oriented organizations. Support all the organizations you love, but make sure you give $3 a month to AMP at amp.freetalklive.com.
Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there are people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this, right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
Immigrating to the Shire was easy. I was instantly plugged into a community of individuals who also care about peace, liberty, and justice and are willing to do something about it.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
Should you be able to earn an honest living free from senseless government interference,
The Institute for Justice thinks so. That's why we've spent years defending hard-working men and women from pointless government regulations. Nationwide, IJ has created opportunity by reducing government power. But there is still more work to be done. Visit our website today at ij.org. Let IJ take care of the government so you can take care of your business.
Instead of just listening, you can also watch. See Liberty Radio Network's key New Hampshire-based live shows via our studio cam at cam.lrn.fm. Plus, you'll still be able to listen to the Liberty Radio Network via the cam feed in high quality 24/7, even when there's no live show being produced in our Keene studio. But wait, there's more. Our chat room is built into the cam page so you can interact with other listeners online. Listen, watch, and chat. All free at cam.lrn.fm. That's cam.lrn.fm.
Hi, I'm Clint Webb, and I'm running for Senate. I have a short cropped haircut, a pretty enough yet accessible looking wife, and a newborn baby that I've dressed in a suit to prove to you that I mean business. For the last 15 years, I've lived my life in such a bland, uncontroversial, and repressed manner that it's almost unnatural. Why? Because I've been preparing to be your representative since I was a child. Most well-adjusted, sane men would be hesitant to take a job where their decisions would so drastically affect the lives of so many. But not me. I possess a sort of sociopathic narcissism that makes me think that I should be in charge of everyone. But all of that needs to start here at home, in this beautiful state that I've grown to love since I moved here 18 months ago. Together, we can piggyback some of our state's legitimate needs onto my unquenchable lust for self-glorification. And that's a promise.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Donna Hancock on the road. We're in Columbus, Ohio now. You know, that's one thing Donna's been good about. You go to Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, and you look at the archive for each day's show, and she'll put, while we're on the road, links to all of the shows that we've done while we're on the road. Also, she keeps a running photo record of everything. Of course, it probably takes you, you know, a year to download the, you know, unless you're on high speed, you know, all the pictures. But, you know, pictures of where we've gone, a little Google map of where we, that leg of the journey, you know, where we drove from where to where, probably get an idea about how long it took us. And various different people that we met with, hung out with, and we share with you on the air. Then there may be, now what is today? Today's Friday? Okay. Monday, we're going to be in Austin. So we're going to go visit with some of the guys down there and the activists. And I keep hearing about Austin. It is kind of a college town. You know, it's probably not as Lone Prairie as I thought, unless you get outside the city. But we're going to go hang out in Austin and see what's up. So we'll go check that out. I don't think I've ever spent any time in Austin. Ooh, we could probably go do the Alamo, in case I care. I mean, you know, I tell you what I am looking forward to go seeing is Spaceport USA, which is our Spaceport America, which is by Las Cruces. At least that's her mailing address. I'll put it around there somewhere. So as we're going from Texas, you know, west, we're going to go to Las Cruces, and we're going to go up and see that months ago they finished. Them just started. They finished the first American spaceport. Did you even know it existed? Did you? That's where Spaceship 2 is going to be based out of and launching and so on. This has been, you just go up on Google Image, put Spaceport USA, or Spaceport America, I think it is, and you see pictures. Boom. There it is. Done. Done. You know, hear about it a lot, do you? No. Why? Why? You know, you would think this would be top of the, all the news that's fit to print. Well, who decides that? I tell you one thing, if you're 7 years old, that's fit to print for you. You're like, what? So what? They didn't tell me in school. What? And, you know, I do this. We were talking about this just yesterday. You know, my wife's grandmother, you know, she's great-great-grandmother to our grandkids. You know, great-great-grandmother. So as we were sitting there and we had my daughter on Skype, okay, it's a video, and she was kind of, I mean, I go, yeah, it's like, see? You lived long enough, Grandma. Video telephones. And she's like, yep, you know, it's just amazing. And as we're sitting there on Skype, you could see each other, see my daughter and her husband, Tim, and baby Elon. And Tim noticed, he goes, you know, this is five generations. Yeah, we got Grandma Crutt, her daughter Rose, which is the mother of Donna, you know, then we got my daughter and then her child. Five generations. How often do you get that? So I'm going, all right. And we're talking about the technology. And I kind of, yeah, we did this and adjust that and we changed this and so on. And you say things like, well, yeah, you know, we're you know, the space thing, you know, why we're traveling around the country looking for a place to, you know, just be able to live free. And some people are like doing the new world thing. They're just leaving. You know, even the church got involved in their oppression in Europe. You know, heck, it was the Church of England was the oppression. I mean, you know, it's just the Catholic Church was the oppression. So then it's also my father-in-law's 82nd birthday. You know, so on my father-in-law's 82nd birthday, and after some glasses of wine, my wife decides they're going to get into a religious discussion. I'm like, hey, I'm going over here. The Pope isn't Catholic Church, and none, you know, let's argue with Dad on his 82nd birthday. That's a bad idea. I'm going over here. So this is, you know, they're into this, you know, I got a lesson on whatever I want to talk about. But the point is that everybody has their own opinion of what their freedom would entail. And I'm just trying to take the position, hey, man, I'm all about, you know, who's aggressing against whom and, you know, and using force. That's all I care about. The other stuff, because we had this discussion at Porkfest. You know, it's me and Adam Kokesh and Stefan Molyneux, you know, going on about can you be a libertarian or an anarchist or anarchist or whatever and still have any kind of a faith in anything, any kind of a spiritual component to yours, must you purge all spirituality from your being in order to attain the high whatever? And I'm like, you know, is that really the goal? Seriously? Can we stick to the NAG, non-aggression principle? You know, I'm going to nag you. Nag, 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 non-aggression, 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 non-aggression. You know, and leave it there. You know, do I go, oh, no, you're not smart enough to be a non-aggression guy. And if you believe in, I'm like, whoa, time out. Because my whole argument is whether you believe in something or not, it's not even the point, is to, at the beginning of the discussion, you're trying to get the next generation to not explore whatever, literally, for an individual, is truth. Can you have an epiphany? Can you have a spirit? Let me take that out. There we go. Can you have a spiritual experience? Should you be able to pursue it? That's one thing that I find of interest to me is that I wish I had time to just sit and meditate and do the right combination of drugs or whatever it takes, you know, fasting or something, and just kind of, you know, I'm chilling. I'm going to go inner space. I'm going to calm my mind. I'm going to open up my radar screen, my antenna, and kind of see what's what. Am I allowed to do that? And if you have anything, God forbid you want to share it with anybody, you know, or anarchists forbid. You know, so that's really my point there. But I see the exact same thing with different denominations. It'll be the Protestants and the Catholics that, and the Mormons, whatever. But they try and unify us in the government. They're going to unify us. They're going to, you know what? We're going to have an initiative. And we're going to call it faith-based initiative. Which faith? Nah, we don't care. Just long as you got a database. You know, we're going to give you some money. And you just tell us who y'all's peoples are. So, you know, there's a lot of pastors, certainly, you know, first in line. You know, I give you this database. I push this button here. I give you this memory key here. And what do I get for it? What do I get? And how often you want it updated? It's like a voter database. You know, every quarter you get like a new report. And you think this doesn't happen? What do you think happened with the churches in Russia? They were permitted. They were allowed. They were regulated. And you go, oh, that wouldn't happen in America. Yeah? What's 501c3? What the hell does that mean? You know, what's faith-based initiatives mean? You see where this goes? So Pastor Baldwin has really been on this. Whether you're a person of faith or not, he certainly has recognized this. And now it's coming to where they are really starting to work with the churches and people of the cloth to get people to surrender. Surrender, because they're already in that mindset anyway. If you have faith, if you're of, you know, a church, of a congregation or whatever, I learned that before, you know, to get the full benefit, the worship, the vision, the release of tension, you know, it's somebody, you know, the burden's putting on someone else, you have to surrender something. You know, that's not necessarily, you know, good or bad. I'm not making a point. I just recognize it's a surrendering. A lot of times you can surrender your problems. You can surrender responsibility. You can surrender, you know, a lot of people like that's how government works. They get you to surrender, you know, some kind of authority. They get you to surrender some of your sovereignty. They get you to surrender responsibility. You know, I love, you know, some people want to surrender so much they pay extra to go, you know, get bottle fed and diapers. I mean, you know, I mean, it takes all kinds of levels, you know, but I'm going, you know, some people are just, you know, no, you know, they're adult. They, you know, I'm good. But, you know, is there no surrendering? Sometimes you surrender, you know, to another. That was when we had the wedding there. Well, in the wedding, you know, one of the points made was that, you know, your pursuit of happiness is, what if the pursuit of happiness is to make a spouse happy? Are you allowed to do that? Are you free to where, you know, look, I'm wanting the freedom to be able to focus my attention instead of giving you stuff, instead of working for you. Instead of, you know, being subjected to you, surrendering to you, giving you my resources and money to you. I want the freedom to be able to pursue the happiness of someone I love. Can I do that? You know, it's not about just, you know, whether the emotion or the need to or the desire to surrender to something else. It's to, who gets to pick? You. We'll get to Pastor Chuck Baldwin's points here sooner or later. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasy.com.
What if the key to achieving liberty in your lifetime was to move together with others who think like you? Liberty activists are joining the Free State Project, which is over halfway to its goal of 20,000 participants. And they're already making the move to New Hampshire. The successes are piling up and are proving the Free State Project is a real movement and no longer just a great idea. When you're planning your move, consider Keene. Keene is famous for its civil disobedience and non-cooperation, and there's plenty of political opportunity as well. From demonstrations and vigils to outreach and volunteering, there's a lot going on in Keene. Keene is also the undisputed Liberty Media capital of the world, with television, talk radio, and more, all originating here. Though it's more than just activism, with regular social events each week. See what's happening at freekeene.com and get connected with video, audio, free books, a forum, and activist tools you can download and use in your area at freekeene.com. That's freekeene.com. You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Learn more about Bitcoins at weusecoins.org. That's weusecoins.org.
Did you know you can get news updates about what's happening with the Liberty Radio Network delivered in the way you prefer? You can sign up for our email updates at updates.lrn.fm. Plus, you can stay in the loop by joining our Facebook profile at facebook.lrn.fm or follow us at Twitter at twitter.lrn.fm. It's all free. So sign up now at updates.lrn.fm for news updates delivered to your email box, facebook.lrn.fm to follow our Facebook page,
and twitter.lrn.fm to receive our tweets.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Columbus, Ohio, on our way to Austin, Texas. Well, via Decatur, which is kind of by Fort Worth. And Monday we'll be in Austin. We're visiting family over the weekend. Then Monday we'll be in Austin hanging out at Brave New Books. We got some, you know, packages of stuff that we needed, there waiting on us to do some stuff. Then we got to get going on making a bunch of the dime cards for the Pole Festival. And I need to check with Deborah Robinette on that, get an update on what exactly is going on. Because, I mean, it changes all the time. You know, this is in flux. When you're dependent on campaigns and you're dependent on, you know, parties and schedules and other people and stuff, and then you're dependent. And I just don't like being dependent. So we'll work on that. Then we hopefully by next weekend we'll be back in or near or around Phoenix. You know, we got the Arizona Breakfast Club, you know, the first Saturday of the month. So we'll, you know, meet with some friends and tell them what happened, what's up, and kind of what the plans are and stuff. And I'm coming to the conclusion that you're going to have to, you know, hunker down and do whatever it is where you're at. No matter where you go, you're going to have to do that. You go to freaking Pacific Island or something. That was one thing that was interesting. God, who was telling me this? I think it was Bill Buford or Boston Tea Party, you know, Ken Royce. We were talking at Pork Fest. And he told the story of a family, a German family during Nazi Germany years in the 30s, that knew, oh, heck no, we're taking our resources and we're going to get out of the way. We see the world's going into, you know, like it is now. It's like, you know, World War II, World War III, IV, V, whatever. They said, you know, we're done. We're going to go out in the middle of nothing. And they left in the 30s, and they went, and they moved their family to the Marshall Islands. You know, and then you had the Japanese and U.S. Navies just beat the living crap out of the Marshall. I'm going, bad move, you know. So where do you go? I mean, you don't know. Seriously. You know, and what did Gerald Celente say? You know, in the first hour, he's going, look, man, I went to Uruguay, Chile, Argentina. I'm going, you know what? I'm just camping here in New York. And we're going to make a stand. We're going to have the Second American Revolution. I didn't think anybody else even knew what the heck is going on. So I'm like, all right. Excuse me. I want to finish up with what Pastor Baldwin had to say. And then we'll get into the Europe in the third hour and the economy and you know, whatever. You know, Europe, I'll tell you then. Okay. So it's talking about the government of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, of all people, and the, doesn't he look like a good little SS soldier-wearing guy? You just want, you want to put a hat on him and, you know, some, you know, lightning bolts on his sleeve, don't you? You know, I mean, he just no. Now, of course, they say, oh, but he's Jewish, he's ready, whatever. The guy, you know, has got the SS air about him like none other. And closed circuit televisions all over Chicago to, you know, help him out. So he's working with the churches in order to bring in your guns because they're bad. And he's got, you know, so another reader that was commenting on this that Pastor Baldwin's quoting here, he said, the government and so-called churches will be the downfall of this great country's constitution. Amen, says Pastor Baldwin. Pastor Baldwin goes on to say, it grieves me to say that a sizable percentage, if not a majority, of today's churches are as culpable in the dismantling of our Constitution and Bill of Rights as any entity one can think of. So many pastors and churches today are unwilling to take a stand against almost anything that might have political overtones. I doubt that most of them would say boo to the devil himself, especially if he came dressed in a government uniform. They are all about making people feel good, entertaining people, and stroking people's egos. In fact, let me ask my church-going readers to try an experiment. The next time you go to church, ask your pastor where he or she stands on the Second Amendment. Ask them, would our church participate in a police-sponsored gun turn-in program? Ask them, if the president declared a national emergency and FEMA or any federal or state agency asked you to ask your congregation to turn in their firearms, would you agree to do so? Go ahead, ask them. Then observe their reaction very carefully. You can count on this. Virtually no pastor whose church is receiving federal faith-based initiative taxpayer monies would take a public stand for the Second Amendment and under those conditions. Count on it. So maybe you should also ask your pastor if your church is receiving federal faith-based initiative monies. All over America, literally thousands of churches are accepting federal tax dollars to help support their daycare centers, their after-school programs, their Christian schools, their food banks, etc. Contrast today's churches to those of colonial America. In those days, gun racks for the rifles that had been brought to church were as common as coat racks. In fact, many times a church basement or back room was used as a place in which caches of arms were commonly stored. I realize the times in which we live do not remotely resemble those of colonial America, but the attitudes of the pastors and men of the church should still be the same, that freedom is fragile and that firearms are the people's liberty teeth, George Washington, that an armed society is a polite society, Robert Heinlein, and no freeman shall ever be debarred the use of arms, Thomas Jefferson. I'm interested that you knew Robert Heinlein. And while these milquetoast preachers are preparing their sermonettes, they should read what the Lord Jesus said. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Luke 22:36. Of course, the Roman sword was the first century equivalent to a 21st century handgun. It was a weapon of choice for personal close quarter combat. In today's parlance, Jesus said, if you don't have the money, sell your clothes if you have to, and buy a gun. That's a far cry from churches in Chicago asking people to give up their guns, isn't it? I don't know about anyone else, but I will take the word of Jesus over the word of Barack Obama and the Chicago Gestapo any day. ChuckBaldwinLive.com. Yeah, go check out the Freedom Documents. He's got compiled 50 of America's, it's subjective. I mean, you know, I'm sure they got, a lot of the main documents. And 50 documents, I bet you, a lot of them are good preacher sermonizing that, he enjoys and he brings about up in his sermons a lot. And it's because, a lot of the, it reminds me of the movie The Patriot, Mel Gibson, when they finally the militia is called up and they're leaving, they're going out and they're going to go join against the redcoats, kind of oppressive tyranny. And the pastor gets out, and the pastor, and he goes, hey, sometimes you got to defend the flock against the wolf. All right. How many people do we have like that at the pulpit? Well. Now you know why Pastor Baldwin was endorsed by Dr. Ron Paul when he was running for the Constitution Party as President of the United States in 08. Who am I going to do? McCain? So this time, I don't think he's going to be, I don't know if there's anybody on the horizon he'd be endorsing. I doubt he'd endorse, Gary Johnson. He's advocating for a new tax, It's a fair tax, though. So I'm, But Romney, I doubt it. I'd be very interested. I don't see that happening. I hope not. So this is the mindset that he has. It's common throughout a lot of people. Today, from Rens.com, we got Debbie Kidd. She's a conservative, right-wing kind of thing. They're really, really, really up in arms about Obamacare. Well, I wonder if they're going to be as, up in arms when Romney gets in office and they got a Republican-controlled Congress and Senate and so on, and they're, You know, they're not going to change hardly anything. They're going to change the premise. There's still going to be mandates and taxes and do it. It's just going to, you know, funnel the money a little bit better towards whatever the heck they want to do. You know, the special interests are in charge. Now, you think they're going to repeal national health care? No. And what are they going to do when you're not? Because the way it is that if you do not participate in some way, if you're just a small businessman out there doing whatever, what are they going to do? They're going to make you pay. They're the IRS to garnish wages from medical tax violators. Now, the IRS will come after Americans under Obamacare or Romney Care or any other care, because once it's in place, they don't do away with these taxes. In fact, that's what Roberts, turncoat Roberts. He ruled against a mandate of making individual kind of hell no. There was no way that they could have a ruling on the Supreme Court that you can't force somebody to buy something. You know, it's called involuntary servitude. It was the 13th Amendment, you know, the anti-slavery provision. We used it in a case in the 90s in Arizona on mandatory auto insurance. You go, look, you got the government forcing us into a third-party contract, saying you have to buy this guy's stuff. I go, that's how they defined involuntary servitude, forcing you into a third-party contract. You're putting us into slavery. Well, if you call it a tax, that's okay. Oh, okay. All right. You force, as long as it's a tax and it makes me, you know, fund an entire freaking industry, like military-industrial complex, you know, like universities, like everything. Get it? Slave. Silly status. Taxes are